Brother jukebox, sister wine, mother freedom, father time.
Since you left me by myself, you're the only family I've got left. You're the only family I've got left.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. There is cautious optimism in Israel and in Gaza. Following the announcement, Israel and Hamas have agreed on phase one of a U.S. peace plan. Israel's government still needs to approve the proposal. Phase one includes an immediate ceasefire, a partial withdrawal of Israeli troops in Gaza, and the release of all remaining hostages. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Tel Aviv.
The Israeli officials will certainly want this to be a seamless exchange. If you will recall, in one of the last prisoner release exchanges and hostage release, there was a big ceremony, and some of the hostages were paraded through thousands of people. That is what the Israelis don't want to see again. It's our understanding that they have made that demand that on this next exchange.
President Trump says all remaining hostages could be released as early as Monday or Tuesday if the deal is finalized, and he signaled he may travel to the Middle East for the signing. This is ABC News. West Africa has been dealing with some severe weather recently, and that could explain what effect it may have on your Halloween plans, including that chocolate you hand out.
Prices for cocoa, the main ingredient in chocolate, have more than doubled from last year on account of heavy rainfall, but also severe droughts and crop disease across much of West Africa. That's according to the Wells Fargo Agri-Food Institute, which says the region is seeing its largest supply deficit in 60 years. Chocolate manufacturers have been hiking prices all year, but Hershey's now says, despite that, it will not be raising the cost of its specially packaged Halloween candy. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Fall-like weather sweeping into the Northeast with a vengeance. Forecasters say a nor'easter storm could develop this weekend off the southeast coast, pushing its way up the Atlantic, and it could hit Maryland, the Jersey Shore, Philadelphia, New York City, all the way to New England. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Think Verizon, the best 5G network, is expensive? Think again. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Now, what to do with your unwanted bills? Maybe turn them into paper airplanes headed to see and ever AT&T and T-Mobile. Jokes aside, the best 5G network has you covered with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So bring in your bill to your local Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics True Score report dated 1H2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid consumer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. Additional terms apply.
The Home Depot has everything you need to turn your home into a beacon of holiday cheer. So whether you're going all out or just adding a few holiday touches, we've got you covered with trees, yard decor, and more. Save time decorating with one of our easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees or pick up a piece from our Yuletide Lane decor collection and fill your yard with holiday joy. Whatever your style, find everything to get your holidays started at The Home Depot.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Democrats proposed legislation that would require health insurance plans to cover infertility treatments in Wisconsin.
State Senator and candidate for governor Kelda Royes of Madison says IVF is the only way for some people to build a family but is at risk.
Because of the very extreme elements that are in charge of the Republican Party that are pushing bans.
Assembly Minority Leader Robin Voss says Republicans weren't aware the proposal was coming.
But of course, I support IVF. Whether they're doing it for political reasons like they do almost everything else, that's probably my assumption, but we'll have to see.
The bill's provisions include coverage of diagnosis and treatment for infertility and fertility preservation services. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
As the federal government shutdown continues, a Wisconsin congressman says Democrats are fighting to preserve health care funding. At a Wednesday press conference, 2nd District Democrat Mark Pecan said rural hospitals have already taken a hit this year.
The big ugly law cost rural hospitals $443 billion due to more people that are going to be on compensated care that have to come in.
Pecan referring to cuts and restrictions to Medicaid and Medicare. Republicans in the U.S. Senate want Democrats to approve a resolution for short-term government funding and negotiate separately for health care subsidies, which are set to expire. A convicted murderer is convicted for an attack on a corrections staffer.
Taylor Shabusiness is serving a life sentence with no chance of parole at the Teixeira Correctional Institution. The 27-year-old was convicted of the 2022 murder and dismemberment of 24-year-old Chad Therian in Green Bay. She pleaded guilty in Fond du Lac County Court on Wednesday to a misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct for the July 2024 attack on a Teixeira staff member. Court records show that sentencing is scheduled for December 1st. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A sunny to mostly sunny Thursday afternoon with a south breeze and upper 60s for highs. More clouds on the way for tonight with showers and thunderstorms around. Morning low temperatures dropping back into the lower 50s. The bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. It's 60 at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
USDA report days of the year for the grain markets, but the government shutdown has traders using other sources of info to do price discovery. We'll talk about what that means for the market outlook, and let's get on the road and head to Columbia, Missouri on this week's College Roadshow.
Live from the great state of Missouri, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we will rejoin Farm Journal's College Roadshow at the University of Missouri with Extension Beef Genetics Specialist Jamie Corter. Then it's Bill Lapp from Advanced Economic Solutions, directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Glad that you are with us here on this Thursday morning, October 9th. Normally, we would be saying, geez, look out, we're within an hour of the October crop production supply and demand reports. But instead, we're saying, geez, look out, there's nothing coming our way. What's that mean? The conversation that we had with Rick Brock yesterday afternoon on the PM show, and I said, geez, you know, are we going to be okay without this USDA report? And he says, I think we'll be just fine without the USDA report. I'm looking forward to not getting a USDA report. So I thought that was interesting. We'll see what Bill Lapp thinks about it today. So,
yeah, good, good.
Yeah. And then we are going to talk about a program down through the University of Missouri Extension called the Show Me Select Replacement Heifer Program.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How they are using some of the best genetics in the state to produce replacement beef heifers. So I'm looking forward to the conversation with Jamie about that and try to figure out exactly what it is, who it's for, and so on.
I can confirm they grow a heck of a beef down here in Missouri. They really do. Tough to beat.
Sure. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I don't know if you saw this or not, Davis, because your sports interest meter might be at an all-time low.
It's over.
But the Cubs get another day of baseball.
Hey, see?
See?
Yeah.
All we want is one more day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're shooting for is one more day.
You got it.
You got it. All right, buddy. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Well, the National Weather Service is talking about morning lows dipping into the 30s, which have prompted frost and freeze advisories across parts of the upper Midwest and the interior Northeast. Meanwhile, above temperatures will prevail across much of the plains and interior West, with highs in the 70s and 80s, some 90s in Texas and the desert Southwest, 63 degrees currently in Kansas City, sunny. Headed for a high right around 80. I think 78 is the last I saw for our day's high. Really nice here.
That's almost like San Diego right there.
San Diego.
Yes. 54 degrees in northeast Iowa right now, heading for a high of 69. It is beautiful for October 9th.
Yeah. Well, December corn was down a penny, Novi beans down 4 cents, and winter wheat futures about 2.25 cents higher in overnight trade. The U.S. dollar index was higher at another 9-week high. Crude oil prices a bit weaker, trading around $62.25 per barrel just ahead of the open. What sticks out to you in the markets, Chip?
Not a whole lot. It's like the markets are treading water before we get to a USDA report, all except for the fact that there's no USDA report. Feeder cattle are screaming again.
Oh,
$3.50 to $4 higher. Yeah.
Oh,
surprise, surprise.
Already. Well, basis levels for corn and soybeans across the Midwest continue to widen as harvest collides with limited storage capacity. Tanner Remke from CoBank says, quote, due to the risk of lost export demand, some elevators across the northern plains that lack local crush demand may not accept soybeans over fears of not being able to access the export market later. That has basis levels sinking and storage costs rising as elevators combat demand uncertainty. Not a real good setup there right now.
Well,
Chip,
there's also money to be made in storing corn and soybeans because of the carries in the market. So the elevators are trying to fill up as fast as they can because there's money to be made doing it.
Yeah. Well, the Trump administration has pushed back its plans to roll out economic aid for farmers this week due to the government shutdown. That, according to Politico, the Office of Management and Budget has readied between $12 and $13 billion to be allocated from an internal USDA account, some of which could be used to fund support payments for farmers. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley told reporters, quote, all we hear from the administration is on $10 to $14 billion, so the final figure hasn't even been agreed upon, he says, and then there's only $4 billion left in the CCC, Chip.
Yeah, so how's it going to be funded? That's exactly right. You're probably going to, if you're watching on Farm Journal TV, you're probably going to see me turn around and look at my TV a few times during the show because I'm watching for the cabinet meeting. There's a cabinet meeting for today, and I think we're going to get some information on the aid package from that meeting.
Well, Chip, while there are presently no indications the U.S. government shutdown is nearing its end, U.S. Treasury traders believe when it does end, the marketplace will see increased volatility as a backlog of U.S. economic data becomes available. The pent-up U.S. data includes reports on employment and inflation, which may also hamper decision-making for the Federal Reserve. Let's go over to Angie Stump Denton now. What do you say?
Excellent. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring her in. Angie, of course, is the editorial director at Drovers. How's it going, Angie?
Good morning, Chip. It's a beautiful day in Kansas, too. I don't know if you can hear all the noise outside my window. They're getting the combines ready to roll out here. They're in my front yard today getting ready to cut corn. So it's kind of loud outside my window, so I'm sorry if our guests can pick that up right now. So
that's a great time of the year, Angie.
It is.
It's a
good day.
Yep. Okay, it's been Purchase with a Purpose week at Farm Journal. Cattle industry has more investable cash, I guess I would say, than it has had for a while. Some operations they are making investments, but you got to make a smart investment for the future, don't you?
Yeah, and that's what this week's all about on Drovers.com is the purchase with purpose and making those investment decisions, those purchases to take your farm or ranch, you know, to the next level and making those decisions. You know, just I encourage our readership to go check it out on Drovers.com. But some, just a few highlights of some of the stories. The one that we posted yesterday, producer purchasing decisions, in there was the top 10 things. We actually surveyed our readers what they were going to purchase or, you know, what they were going to spend that increase income in this fall. And cow herd expansion was number one, paying down debt, subsidizing row crop operation and updating facilities, putting in fence and concrete were some of those top ones that people were talking about. There's a great story on six equipment purchase strategies to improve ranch efficiency. Carl Steiger from the 808 Ranch, I did a feature on them and kind of how they make decisions. And he shared six purchase strategies that I think our readers can really learn from. And the story that I put up today is about investing in shade. You know, I know not all of our producers have those trees out there to keep the cools, whether it's a cow-calf pairs or, you know, feeders cool. And so today's story is about investing in shade and those opportunities. And then there's some research there that proves how keeping those cattle cool and protected improves their efficiency and comfort for the long
run. Excellent. Thank you, Angie. Angie Stump Denton. We'll be back with more AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision and every season.
They say that good things come in threes. And now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
Hi, this is Rick Swenson, Corn Product Manager at Peterson. We know one size fits all doesn't work in corn. Every field has its own personality, its own challenges, and its own potential. That's why we plant thousands of replicated corn plots across our region every season, testing hybrids in the same soils and conditions that you farm. If it doesn't perform for us, it won't be in your bag, period.
Hey there, I'm Scott Sanders with Peterson Farm Seed, and now's the time to lock into your 2026 order with Promise Plus. Early orders earn rewards points you can redeem for everything from grain augers to paddle boards. And with 0% financing at your local bank or through John Deere financing, your seed order works harder for you from day one.
Talk to your local Peterson dealer now about 2026 or find us online at petersonfarmseed.com. Let's match the right hybrid to your acres and get the best rewards in your hands. Peterson. Seed smarter, grow stronger.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by new Proven G3 from Pivot Bio. Proven G3 is bringing corn farmers three game-changing modes of action that feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com. Is that Nickelback? Is that what we got going
that
here?
That is Nickelback. Burn it
well,
down.
That one really crunches, doesn't it? That's a good
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah, that's Burn It Down right there. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, and it is time for our College Roadshow feature of the week. Big thanks to Bex for sponsoring the College Roadshow. Be sure to watch U.S. Farm Report this weekend. Tyne Morgan returns home to Columbia, Missouri, and the University of Missouri. Joining us right now is Jamie Corder, State Beef Genetics Extension Specialist. Jamie, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you this morning?
Oh, we're doing so great this morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. I'm glad that you're here. Glad you're here. Hey, Jamie, we're going to talk about the Show Me Select replacement heifer program. But first, before we do that, if there is a high school junior senior out there that is thinking to themselves, you know, I might go to the University of Missouri, the College of Ag down there. What do you want them to know?
I want them to know that the Division of Animal Sciences at the University of Missouri, which is the one that I work at, is, I think, one of the best departments in the country. I've only been here. This is the start of my third year, but it's just a great group of people to work with and learn from.
Outstanding. What kind of activity programs do students have available to them down there at the University of Missouri through ANSI?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, we've got block and bridle. We've got meats judging, livestock judging. I mean, anything that you would want to be involved in from a collegiate standpoint, I think you'd have access to at the University of Missouri.
That's very cool. Very cool. Okay. You know, and just a word of warning out there to anybody thinking about getting into the livestock judging. Once you are on a team, down, it doesn't matter where you're at. Once you're on a team, you're always part of that team. Forever and ever, amen. You guys will form that kind of a relationship. No question about it. Okay, talk to me about the Show Me Select Replacement Heifer Program. What is it, Jamie?
Yeah, so in its advent, or really, you know, at its foundation, it is how the state of Missouri stamps replacement heifer development. So heifers that qualify for the program have gone through the steps that both researchers and producers across the state say this is the best way to develop, you know, a weaned heifer into a bred replacement heifer.
Okay, so it's a certification program is what
yes.
it sounds like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so producers all across the state, I mean, at a certain point in that heifer's life will enroll. You know, if it's a herd, you say they have 100 replacement heifers, they enroll the heifers in the program at a young point, and then they have to, you know, vaccinate at certain time points. We recommend reproductive tract scoring and pelvic measurements being taken to ensure that they've reached a certain point in their puberty so that they're ready to be bred. And then there are also requirements on the AI sires or even the live cover bulls that you use to breed those heifers. And then at the end of the program, you have a bred heifer, either spring or fall calving. We do both seasons, that is enrolled in the program, qualifies for the program, and sells it at a specific Show Me Select sale across the state.
Jamie, to me, it's a great way to make sure that you're putting quality females into the sale barn. But to me, it sounds like it's more of an effort to give the Missouri cow-calf operators confidence in what they're buying.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, you know, as a person who's a geneticist, it's reducing the risk for the buyer always, right? You want to make sure that the bull that was used is of the top genetic quality, has been bred to that heifer with the appropriate amount of calving ease, right? And you're confident in that replacement heifer that you're buying that they meet all of those criteria.
It's very cool. Very cool. Who coordinates this? Who does the certification?
Yeah, so I am actually just the genetic advisor for the program, which okay. makes sense with kind of my title and where I'm at at the university and my level. But there's also my counterpart for beef reproduction, Thiago Martins, who is kind of the overseer of the program itself. But really, the day-to-day, the boots on the ground are the regional livestock specialists that we have across the state. So they are, you know, they represent 2 to 3 counties in the state of Missouri. And if a producer is interested in enrolling in the program, they go to their regional livestock specialist, and they're the ones that are there working the cattle, making certifying the bulls that are being used, sure that everything, you know, ticks all of the boxes. They coordinate the sales. I mean, we could not do this without those guys.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. It's a big effort, it sounds like. Okay. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to this stuff myself, Jamie. So sure. you said you used a word when you were talking about calving ease. You said appropriate calving
ease
bulls. Okay. That piques my interest. What's some of the criteria that determines what's appropriate?
Yep. So the bulls have to be registered bulls, right? And so every breed association publishes a calving ease EPD, right? And so as the genetic advisor, it is my job to make sure that the EPDs of those bulls matches that number from the association that says, this is the appropriate calving ease to ensure that we do not have dystocia problems when those calves are born.
Okay. All right. All right. Jamie, what was the original mission of this, of the program? Why was it even started?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was started. I mean, Missouri is one of the top cow-calf states in the country, right? They're always at always somewhere in the top five of that list. And so, we can sell feeder calves in a sale barn. That, I mean, we can market those calves based on the right decisions and get premiums for the calves that we're selling. But we, Dave Patterson, early on in his career, said that we should also be recommending and educating producers on how replacement heifers should be developed. And if we're going to be an industry leader as a state, we need to be leading the way in regards to making sure that the replacement females we're putting into the beef industry are of the utmost quality.
Okay. It's for Missouri raised heifers only, right?
Yeah. So you do have to be a producer who has an address in the state of Missouri to enroll heifers, but we've actually sold heifers all across the United States.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the follow-up on this, Jamie? How do you know that you're being successful in you know, certifying the quality of these animals?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to tell you that we know how those heifers perform for the rest of their lives, but we know how data communication in the beef industry works, right? That's not something that we're necessarily great at. But I'll tell you that the success of the program, in my mind, is the continued premiums that we see for these heifers year in and year out. They are always selling over what market value is at your local sale barn. There's just value. Producers in the state of Missouri and outside are repeat buyers. They're coming back. And I think that speaks to volumes to the success of the program.
Man, oh, man, you bet it does. Again, if the buyers are confident, then you know you're doing something right with the program that you've got out there. Who is it for? Who can get into the program?
Yeah, so it's really for any, like I said, any producer in the state of Missouri. You do have to have a Missouri address, but we do have people who, you don't have to have farm-raised heifers, right? So we do have people who go out and buy heifers and then try and push them through the program, and they do have some success with that, as long as you buy them at a young enough age. But, I mean, it's from the start to finish, it's for producers in the state of Missouri for the heifers. But like I said, we've sold heifers into over 30 states, I think, across the U.S. So anyone who's interested in purchasing heifers in the program, I mean, just Google Show Me Select. We have a website. All of that information is available.
Jamie, this is a really cool program. I dig it. From your perspective, there's got to be some satisfaction in the fact that you're helping to improve genetics, not just in Missouri, but across the Midwest, the country.
That's why I wake up every day. So my passion is just making sure that the beef industry is better tomorrow than it was today. And so I am a huge proponent of the program. And, you know, we didn't talk about it here, but my little like sub piece of it is Show Me Plus. And so even there's kind of a genetics aspect to it that if a heifer, we do sell heifers with genomic information, be that a genomically enhanced EPD, so they're registered, or a commercial genomic test. I mean, we are doing all that we can to ensure that the heifers that we are selling are marketed well and marketed to the best of our ability.
That's really cool, Jamie. I got a feeling we're going to be talking again. Jamie, thank you for making time for us.
Absolutely.
All right, Jamie Quarter, State Beef Genetics Extension Specialist at the University of Missouri. Watch it this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. It's the Beck's College Roadshow.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Beck's, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Beck's honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 6 to $16.99, December down 3 to $17.01, January down 14 to $16.72, February milk down 12 at $16.79. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are moving higher due to strength in boxed beef prices and also strength from the feeder cattle markets, also helping to support the markets. Now, a single cash bid of $230 was on the table in Nebraska, but there's really no cash cattle trade developed as feedlot managers are hoping to hold prices at least steady, and the packers are hoping again to work the market lower. Now, feeder cattle moving mostly higher as, again, stronger box beef prices are helping, and if the Fed cattle cash markets trade steady to somewhat higher, that also could provide some support. Hog markets moving mostly lower as the hog markets are not seeing the fundamental support to move prices higher. October live cattle up $1.15 to $2.35. October feeder cattle up $3.62 to $3.7312. October hogs down 42 cents to $97.20. Chicago Board of Trade corn and soybeans moving mostly lower as they chop just below nearby resistance levels. The forecast looks for the harvest to just continue on as well. And there's no export inspections report, so that's pressuring the markets. Wheat are mixed today. December corn down 2.25 to 419.75. November beans down 5.25.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa.
Durant at Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durant Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Dyna-Gro Seed, bred and tested to perform in your reality. Get the right seed with a proven history of success in your area. Dyna-Gro Seed, for real. Visit seedyoucantrust.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday. Joining us now, Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions. He joins us right now. Bill, how are you? It's good to talk to you again.
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
Doing real fine, real fine. Honestly, yeah, you know, I'll admit it, I'm missing the anticipation of the USDA reports. What about you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Happy WASD Day. I can recall back in, I believe, 2013 where we missed the last one, and shortly after that there was a meeting with USDA individuals, a data users meeting, and
yeah,
really showed the audience there, told them how much they really liked them, and they had never heard that before. So it was a nice change of pace for USDA. To absence makes the heart grow fonder is what I've heard.
Yes, I think that is exactly right. Well, if they can get this thing restarted, there's going to be another one of those USDA data users meetings coming up on October 21, if we can get the government restarted by then.
Yes, and they were kind enough the last time to come and attend that with maybe 2 or 3 days head start ahead of it. So they came out of there, and a lot of people gave him heat for closing down the government, which the USDA folks had nothing to do with. But it'd be nice to have that and then be able to talk to them a little bit about what their thoughts are. Obviously, they can't tell us what they think the crop was as of today, but that would be nice to have that and get a little more clarification on what's going on in terms of budget cuts and DOGE and things like that.
Yep, yep. Okay, so instead of looking to USDA for the information, we're looking at market signals for the information. We are looking to reports from the countryside for information mm-hmm. about what might be happening on the supply side of the balance sheets, what might be happening on the demand side. Let's start with the crop production. If we had gotten the crop production report for corn today, Bill, what do you think we might have seen?
I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth there. The trade guess was 185.0 versus 186.7. Obviously, the first number was the high 188.9. I hear so much divergence of opinion on this. I can talk to a dozen folks and get talked into a final yield of 179 to 181 on the downside. I hear other folks talking about how great it is, and even though they've seen some losses due to disease, that we could get a yield back near where it was originally put, something 187 to 189. So the issue with this is that some of the disease is new and different. Maybe we have to harken back to the 1970 issues we had back then, many years ago. But I think we'll go through the November report and still have uncertainty. And I think even the January may give us more, because we'll get a stocks number that will give some validation to what the crop estimate is for corn.
Right, right. Well, we had to wait until January last year to get to the reality to set in a little bit. No clarity from the combine. No clarity from the combine, Bill. What does that mean for how the markets might perform between now and the next USDA report?
Oh, pretty steady Eddie without any big changes in demand. We might get some export demand that could help support it. I think it stays fairly stable. I've been telling clients, you know, a 410 to 450 range is maybe what you expect in the nearby for the next 3, 4, 5 months. So, you know, fairly stable prices.
Right. Okay. Bill, who really uses the USDA data? Who is waiting the most? Does that make sense? Who is waiting the most for the USDA updates?
I would say number one would be the spec community.
Yeah.
Because they look very closely at the wording in there and the data, and they take their cue from what might be a signal from what right. Bill says. I think that, you know, the livestock sector, when you're at the position we're at now, I hear a lot of comments like, we got plenty of grain, we're going to be somewhere in a lower range. I don't have a lot of concerns about this as we are now. I think maybe the greatest concern among farmers is, is there a chance we could go back and test those lows we made in August? And I don't think we are, but I think that's a concern among producers of regarding that. And you know, it's probably more interest in what's my basis going to be, and am I going to have a place to store my grain now? But your question was who uses it most. I really do think it's above and beyond all the spec community.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. And they bring the activity day in and day out to the commodity markets. And some of your comments, Bill, they're really important here, because you're talking about the market observers talking in generalities. Okay? Yeah, carryover is going to be down, but it won't be down that much. They're talking in generalities, but they have a very specific job to do each and every day, and that is to discover the fair price. How can we talk in generalities and do something so specific all at the same time?
Oh, that's the quandary of commodity markets, is we try to over-define it maybe sometimes, what it exactly means. I have a price model that will, with a high degree of accuracy over time, tell you what the average price during November will be, but the range around that can drive you crazy. And then you ask, okay, why is the market not responding like I think? And that's a number of reasons. One is we're subject to a big surprise on a deal with China. We could get something where China comes in and buys 2 million tons of wheat and a couple million tons of corn and oodles and oodles of soybeans, I suppose, but we don't know that. We don't know the crop size, and I don't think anybody can be real confident. We haven't had a year like this. I don't know in how many years it would be where it was so wet, and we got a lot of foliage, and we had a lot of potential in the crop, and then we lost it a lot, some of it, it looks like, in August and September.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Are the combines giving us any more clarity on soybeans?
I think so. You can look at the commentary and say soybeans are performing better than corn. Less of a loss or more of a gain relative to what the trade is expecting. Soybeans are one that, again, we have to wait till the January report at least to see where we are there. But I think there's the potential with some of the rainfall we got in late August and especially in the Western Corn Belt. I think we could have added several bushels per acre to yields in the West and probably on an overall basis. I've got a pretty plentiful supply of soybeans in my balance sheet that looks like it's we're going to really need that Chinese demand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. What do you think the odds are of something like that happening? Get a successful conclusion to the trade talks. Get China back and buying some beans.
I hate to be nattering nabob of negativism, but I think they're gonna buy something from us, but it may be disappointing. The White House has signaled that it's a priority for them, and in lieu of that, there's going to be financial payments provided to farmers. But I'm not real optimistic that they're going to come to the table because, number one, they don't have to. They've got South American soybeans to lean on. You've heard me describe it as MBGA, Make Brazil Great Again policy, yeah, that the tariffs are doing to us.
Yeah, yep. Okay, we got about a minute left here. Thoughts on 2025-26 corn carryover and bean carryover? What would have we seen today on those numbers?
We would have seen the starting of the year a bigger supply. The carry-in crop from September 1 stocks would have probably done more than the yield reduction would have done. So we get at least a modest increase somewhere. USDA was 2109 in September, something 2140, I would guess. And then on the beans, whatever we lose on stocks and production, they'll be offset by a reduction in demand. USDA has to start reflecting the fact that early on we are not going to be shipping soybeans to China. So I think they could take soybeans down 100 million in this report, and if we continue to not sell them, that trend could continue into November. I hate to be such a negative Nelly here, but
hey,
I mean, there are carrying charges in there that can be earned by farmers and get you pretty good returns if you store your grain and sell a May or July contract.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if it worries you, the prices that are available right now, if these prices worry you, look at what's available on 2026 and at least give it some thoughts out there on the new crop. Okay, guys? Bill, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Great to do it. You have a great day, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. That's 800-917-8730.